Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West. This is our January 18th reviews issue, part two. So in this issue, we will be talking about Young Justice number one, Captain Marvel number one. But firstly for you today, we have Ironheart number two. This is written by Eve L. Ewing with art by Luciano Vecchio.
Vecchio?
I have no idea. I believed it, though.
Yeah.
You sold it.
I will say that Vecchio or Vecchio.
The writer's name with the L, I mean, it makes it sound like Lewing. It's weird.
Oh, yeah.
I actually wonder if there's any relation to Al Ewing from Marvel Comics writer, so...
That would be an interesting thing to look up that we probably should have done as a podcast about news, but, you know.
No, these are reviews, comics, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Different mode, man.
We don't need to have our facts for this
one. We gotta crash the mode, man.
Let's save that for Young Justice. So, anyway, I'm obviously super biased to Ironheart because I just like her as a character. I've been reading her since Invincible Iron Man. So, I'd really like to hear you guys' takes on that.
Kat still doesn't care. I just don't care. Ironheart
take.
I care even less.
That was terrible. That was terrible. Anyway, what were your thoughts, Kat?
I still don't care. I can't connect to this character, and I just don't care.
There's a fun dichotomy with you where you're like, you want punchy punchy and like happier stuff, and you get happier stuff. You're like, no, not for me.
Maybe she
flies around and punches giant monsters.
Okay, you know what? So for a review show, we're gonna reveal a little bit. I'm just a closet emo. All right. I was an emo when I was when I was 13 and going into high school. It's not going away. It's always there. Just pick it out and reading materials.
You're like, I don't want the depressing stuff, but I'm gonna read it all.
I imagine you with just dyed black hair, like flipping it out of your face and being I didn't like that. That's not cool.
To post a picture later when I was 13, but I had a Jack Skellington beanie and I had long blonde hair, and I wore that beanie so much that when I took it off in the summertime in Arizona, the top of my head was a different shade of color than the ends of my hair.
Wow.
I am loving this image and like now thinking about how our awkward teenage years were.
Little skater emo kid.
Well, Capes and Scowls fans, look for potential photos.
Yeah, maybe we should show us like awkward high school photos.
Yeah, right.
Picture it didn't happen, right?
And you know what? That actually works as a theme of Ironheart too, because we deal with her being a little kid in high school. So.
Yeah, her awkward teenage years.
But she's not a teenager.
Yeah, teenage my ass.
Because she's
like what, 9?
Didn't she say that she's 9 in it too? Yeah, I think so. And she's in like
that's
a
like my
college,
go-to number. No,
college prep high school.
That's awesome.
So, Cat, Nat.
Oh, I loved this issue. I actually liked this issue better than the first one. There was less of this weird the new Marvel paneling, which I hate, where the top whole half of the page is one panel across, and then there's awkward panels underneath it. They didn't have it in this one, which made me happy.
Legitimately hate that, too. It drives me insane.
It was like in every Marvel book that month had it. Yeah. There's just like a great energy. The story feels small. There's a joke about the hearts, which made me laugh so hard because we talked about it last time. I didn't recognize the spot on her head as being a heart, but she actually says, heart on my head, heart on my heart.
Yeah.
Like, in the issue when talking to somebody, so.
She obviously has PTSD.
Oh.
Yeah.
Obviously, she sees a drive-by happening, which is how her best friend and dad were killed, and then she literally stands there getting shot at for enough time to break her armor. You know, which is not a small task. It's very good armor.
I mean, all I see in this issue is I'm like, you need therapy. That's literally the entire issue is all I see.
But also, if you look at it, she gets, when she's, there's the panel where all the bullets are bouncing off of her armor, and she gets shot in the heart on her chest and on her head.
Oh.
So, that one was a little... for me.
A little cringy metaphor.
Yeah.
It's subtle, though. I mean, it's not like they're showing it shattering and, like, her heart is breaking or anything.
No. It's literally just, like, the bullet bounce action line, right. whatever you want to call it.
I also really like how her armor works. Like, her energy weapons don't just shoot out of her hands, you know? It's like she can build up energy and release it.
Yeah. There's a bunch of times where, like, she does something, like, next to Iron Man in previous comics, and he's just like, why didn't I think of that? She's like, I don't know. because
I have the mind of a child, so.
Right, she's still more creative than he is.
Yeah, like, she has, like, the thing, yeah, even in this last issue of Squirrel Girl, she actually suggested something to Tony Stark, and he was like, what did I think of that?
That's awesome.
But I do love that aspect. She has, like, all these crazy, like, robot things that you're like, well, of course, it's technology, like, you just use technology.
Right, and the fact that her AI formed into her friend, yes. So it wasn't like it was her choice to design it that way, like, her subconscious built it.
Well, the best part to that, that point of it is to make it, like, she created it herself. She gives it an acronym.
Yeah, yes. It has the acronym for Natalie, too.
Yeah. So much subconscious there.
Like. Yeah. Yeah, and the cool kids, like, the AI, Natalie, like, she essentially tells her, like, she's like, well, why are you Natalie? It doesn't make sense. She's like, well, because you obviously, like, for, like, had me in the back of your mind when you were programming it. Like, come on.
Yeah.
So.
Pretty much.
Which is really cool. And it's just, like, such a cool thing for, especially me as, like, a longtime Ironheart fan, that her killed best friend is now her AI, you know? Yeah. It's like, I don't know, it's just like a really cool thing.
Can we also talk about, like, how do you, like, it's hard to dislike a comic book that has cybernetic ninjas that teleport using flames.
Yeah!
Like, is there a more Nat statement than that? Like, that's pretty...
See,
like,
that was the point in the part of it where I was like, and I think I'm done.
See, and that was the point where I'm like, where's the next 30 issues of these guys? I don't know if I care about Ironheart enough, but I want more about the ninjas that teleport with flames.
So, yeah.
That's, you know,
yeah, it's,
my five-year-old self.
Yeah, that's really funny, because it's... Yeah, you know, there's cybernetic ninjas that teleport through flames, but it's still, like you said earlier, feels like a really grounded, down-to-earth issue. Like, it's a pretty small story.
Protecting the neighborhood, you know?
Yeah, like she's your friendly neighborhood Ironheart.
Yep.
Yep.
A far better costume than Iron Man.
Yeah, you know, she's on first-name basis with, like, the bodega owner and all that stuff.
Yeah, this is... I really like this issue. I think the art is incredible, too. I think that... Luciano, it does a really great, great job of just all the characters feel distinct. The faces are all really, really good. There's a good cartooning to it, so when people emote, it's really expressive. Mm. And yeah, like family moments, small moments work really well in this. Maybe a little too much dialogue for my taste, but I really like it. I think it's I will continue to check these out because I'm just having fun with them. Like, I think it's a fun book.
Yeah.
Cool. Nice. Sorry, Kat.
It's my resounding echoes in the room.
All right. Well, since you had your moment of salt, why don't you take it away
shit,
with
round two.
With
it makes
round
me feel
two.
Any better. There's actually a little bit of salt in this one too.
I mean, the food did look good on their plate.
All right.
So we've got Captain Marvel number one, written by Kelly Thompson, who I love to pieces. And then artist is Carmen Carano, right?
Carnero?
Carnero, thank you. As I hack up my own lung a little bit, not really, whatever. So, obviously this is just after, oh my god, I can't even think of what the comic is.
Life of Captain Marvel.
Thank you. That's all for me. So just after the Life of Captain Marvel, kind of rearranging her backstory and stuff like that, I will say two things. Comes back, beats up a giant tentacle monster, which always makes me uncomfortable, with her best friends. And,
I'm just shaking my head right
now. Wow, okay.
It does, I'm sorry.
This is definitely not a family-friendly podcast, Kat, but we still have some standards.
Hey,
don't like octopus-looking creatures. They're creepy-looking, okay?
Fair.
Okay. I will say this, at any point when I'm reading the first issue of a comic and immediately I am thrown, like, love interest bullshit, I usually get actually very irritated. Because I'm like, alright, give me 5 seconds, let's get the character down, I don't care about their love interest,
That was the relationship with Rhodey the problem?
See, yeah.
And I actually really liked this because the whole issue is bringing her into the greater Marvel universe again, and it's acknowledging right away that they, you know, they ended things on unclear terms. So I think if you're building a new universe essentially for this character and really setting what the parameters are, I thought it was important to know that. I was very intrigued by that idea. I was like, oh, her and Rhodey, I dig it. Like, this is a really interesting. Now, it was weird hearing Don Cheadle's voice in such a young face.
I know. But,
that is probably the other portion of it, too. I was like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah, when he comes in, too, and she's like, Rhodey, I was like, you don't look like Don. You're right. Not Don Cheadle.
What are you doing? You're not this broken down guy. You look like gorgeous, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
Not that Don Cheadle isn't gorgeous.
Old
people are not pretty.
The majority, a lot of this issue, except for the very end when they had Nuclear Man, I feel like they were peddling and I didn't enjoy that.
What do you mean by that?
I'm a misogynistic ass against the most powerful female character ever. I don't.
Oh, you thought it was too much?
I thought it was really tongue in cheek because of like the state of the times right now. That it was like, mm-hmm. That's funny that they chose to do this. And then like the Avengers come and they're like, well, we really weren't needed in this situation.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, because Nuclear Man's there and somebody's like, call the Avengers. Or Rhodey. Rhodey's like, I'll call the Avengers for you. And Thor, Iron Man, and Captain America, the most explicitly like powerful
ones.
And male characters come and she's like, I don't know why you guys are here. Like, you just wasted the trip.
Right.
And they're like, yeah, I don't know why we came.
I think the subtle suit evolution worked too. Like it's it feels more like the first redesign and less like the overplated one that was the second phase of Captain Marvel.
I want
the mask and the mohawk back. I will 100% agree with that.
I also want her haircut different. I like the haircut
I don't like the long hair.
I don't either.
She's feminine enough and like they play on the women empowerment a lot with this character, and I think the short hair just worked. Like
I don't even know about that end of it of the spectrum. I just like her better with the short hair. I think it fits. Like, it was like for years. It's gonna sound really stupid, but for years I had long hair. And my mom never wanted me to cut it off. I cut it off, and my mom tells me that you look better with this, and that's just how I feel.
I think it says like the militaristic thing too.
Probably
like it feels more like the character. Speaking of which, the characterization was what really drew me into this book. I don't have a ton of familiarity with Captain Marvel. I've read part of the Kelly Sue DeConnick run, which was fantastic. And her characterization is so, like, she's a dick in the most positive way. Like, she's such a dick to Tony that it just made me laugh every conversation and moment.
Well, yeah, that's the point. Yeah. He's an asshole. Everyone puts up with him except her. She's like, yes, go to hell.
Yeah, like, and then his protege that she's going to be training, like, their interactions and the way that she just downplays Tony at all turns. She's like, yeah, no, he's dumb.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, because she's introduced to this ostensibly like mentee character who like we'll see what happens with it. But like her introduction is basically there's like the test chamber where she has her powers and she's written out on the ground. What is it? Iron Man sucks. Or like Tony Stark. Iron Man, you suck. So
I was like, I know it's a direct. I know it's like a direct line right at him. I know that much.
Yep. And she's like bowing too. Like,
right. Like she's totally with it.
Yep. So I like this. See, I was thinking back to like America issue one because this has a lot in it. Like there's like all these different storylines that they throw in at you. But like Kelly Thompson versus Gabby Riviera.
Mm-hmm.
Just somehow she makes it work better. Like, I don't know how it is. Like, there's so much stuff happening. You know, her relationship with Iron Man, Spider-Woman, this new mentee, yeah, fighting Nuclear Man, all these things, like her relationship with Rhodey, all these things thrown in.
It may have been, it's inherent in the characterization that, like, her life is just chaotic. So, and, like, and she's coming back from basically time away. So it's kind of that parallel realism of Jesus Christ, there's always something happening. Yeah. Always something.
I know
always
why I don't
something.
Like the long hair. It took me a second while I was thinking and looking at it. It looks messy. Everything around her is messy, and for most people who have lives like that, something is clean.
Oh, yeah, and especially somebody who has the military background, mm-hmm, being an Air Force pilot.
And like, especially considering, like, this straight up, I'm sorry, long hair gets, like, you hit any kind of wind with that, you're blind for, like, 5 seconds. Yeah. And 5 seconds in her world is usually pretty predominant, I'm just saying.
I'm really curious to go back and reread this issue after seeing Captain Marvel, the movie, because I want to hear
Brie Larson's
voice.
And right now I don't know her voice enough as Captain Marvel to read it that way, which is such a great, like, time to be a comic book fan when there's so much other media with the comics, because it gives people a voice. If you didn't have one for them, there's a voice you can latch onto. Just like, mm-hmm, Kevin Conroy is always Batman, and
yep,
Mark Hamill's always Joker when I read.
Yeah.
Just really difficult, yeah, sometimes.
Although Bruce Greenwood sometimes will sweep in while I'm reading Batman, so.
Yeah, I just.
Yep, and now for me, only Nicolas Cage is Superman too, so.
That's hilarious. I don't know whose voice I think it's an amalgamation of Cavill and Christopher Reeve when I read Superman.
Yeah.
I honestly could not answer that question. No, you know who it is? It's, Superman animated series.
Oh, Tim Daly.
Yep.
Okay. Nice. But, yeah, a little bit of a tangent there.
Yeah.
As we never do.
Kat, are you going to read the second issue number two?
I'm curious to see where it's going just because of the last page of it.
Yeah.
So I probably will, but if I keep getting peddling notions, I'm going to get annoyed.
That's true.
Pat? Fair enough. Yeah, I'll definitely continue with this. I'm also intrigued by the reveal at the end.
So it looks like we're going post-apocalyptic. Yeah. Yeah. Freaking Captain Marvel. Well, and I'm
wondering
like,
if it's
game.
A different dimension or if she's just like a post-apocalyptic world.
It seems that way.
I like how like her
characters we saw.
Sorry, I like how her character design too. She has the war paint that like looks like her armor and like this star like,
yeah,
side shave like in her head too. Like,
yeah, cool looking.
I mean, for her, she doesn't get sunburned, so it's fine. Everybody else is on the face of the earth, though.
I definitely will read issue two, if not further. I love Kelly Thompson. She always has a nice comedic edge to the writing, so that you, like, when you laugh for real. You know, like, it's,
yeah,
an actual...
Well, that's the whole point, is, yeah, you know, Captain Marvel does talk crap, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, her whole conversation with Iron Man, are you here, or is it remote pilot? Oh, I'm definitely here, for sure. Like, oh, I think she says something like, oh, well, then step out of the suit and talk to us. Or something. Yeah. He's like, all right, you got me as remote pilot.
It's like she knows him just well enough. So.
Yeah, it's good to see them, too, on speaking terms again.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Speaking.
Yeah, that's speaking, not face-to-face.
Right. Speaking in quotations.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Well, with that said, Matt, why don't you lead us in this next one?
Yeah, we got Young Justice number one, written by Brian Michael Bendis, with art by Patrick Gleason, who is doing his own inks on this book.
Woo, Patrick!
Yeah! wow, what a departure for Bendis' issue number ones.
What do you mean?
I mean, Bendis is a slow burn. He's a slow burn writer. That is characteristic. There's no slow in this issue at all.
Especially considering the first part of it is when the guy said mentioned seven crises, and I was like, no.
Yeah, there's a lot of.
No, we're doing lore. No.
There's a lot of deep cut stuff, but like the book itself is kinetic. Like it just keeps going and going and going and going.
Yeah.
Like it's almost. It's almost. I had to read it twice because it's so fast that like I'm like I felt as if I was missing stuff, or I wasn't paying enough attention to how the movement was working. Each character feels different and distinct. Impulse, and he talks about it in an interview in the back of the book. The way that Impulse moves, rather than us seeing the running, we always see his small moment. So, like, what he does after the fact, we don't actually see him move. We see, like, these flash moments of him.
Which yeah, that's true.
I'm doing this, and doing this, and doing this. It's like there's one running pose. Everything else, he's just bouncing around.
Call somebody, anyone, Superman, the Justice League, call Harry Potter.
I love how they give, like, Harry Potter its own, like, superhero logo, too. Like the Justice League, you know, the established one, and...
Yeah.
And then Harry Potter, you know, in the big, like, action splash print.
Side note, Bendis written Harry Potter comic, I'm in. Anyway.
Yeah, Impulse in this book just really stole the show, totally, like, characteristically.
Yeah.
And, we were talking a little bit before about, like, super dynamic, like, panel layouts, how it's a little bit too much with Marvel. Like, if you do it all the time, it's definitely too much, but specifically doing it for a character like Impulse is so...
Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, no, I'm done, basically.
Yeah, the way that they move.
The splash page of Young Justice is back with all five of them. I would really like this as a poster in my home.
Right? The two-page splash?
Yeah.
So I know a few of these characters, but I have to ask about
Teen Lantern. This is first appearance.
Yeah. 100%. This is first appearance. Yeah,
that is a character that is. She has not existed before.
She?
Yeah, Teen Lantern is female.
Oh, it is
for
a she?
Sure.
Because
actually see her in the book.
So I.
Yeah, actually, there's more female characters on the team than male.
Maybe at least.
Yeah, there's only three. There's Superboy, Connor, or Connor is Superboy.
Well, I guess it's Jenny.
Tim and Impulse, and then Jenny Hex, Teen Lantern, Amethyst, and Wonder Girl.
Huh. Interesting. So. Yeah. Jenny Hex, too,
I think a new character, but I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know why, like, it kind of bugs me a little bit sometimes when people stereotype, like, the South way too much, like, being from the South myself, but, like, maybe it's because that she said she was from Texas, and, like, the rest of the South and Texas, like, beef, that I really loved her as a character. She's such a stereotypical, like, cowgirl. Essentially, but, like, I don't know, it just, for some reason, like, Bendis just rates her, I love it, I don't know why.
The level of inside jokery in this book was so high, like, there's so many, when she meets Tim for the first time, you're Robin! Well, one of them. You know, like, and then when Impulse introduces himself, they're like, who? He goes, Kid Flash. Like, why didn't you just say that?
Yeah. He's like, who are you? Impulse. Who? Oh, Kid Flash. Oh, yeah. Why didn't you just say that?
There's a lot of that moments. Also, like, what is happening with Cass? Like, why is she hidden?
At the very end of the thing, it says you find out Wonder Girl's secrets. So we're going to find out next issue whatever her problem may be.
Yeah.
But
nice.
Because Donna Troy is with Titans, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you don't know. I don't think it's been established what's happened to her. I do want to know why Tim Drake isn't Red Robin, though.
I don't know why he's not Red Robin, but thank you. I'll say that because finally you put him in a suit that makes. Okay, yeah. All of the character designs are spot on. They are fantastic. Patrick Gleason's redesign that harkens to the history of these characters. Spot on. Everything works so well. I'm glad he's not Kid Flash. I'm glad he's Impulse. I love the Wonder Girl modern, you know, jacket with the W. Like, everything just works. The look for Superboy, which we only get a flash of, is the 90s bowl cut, you know, shaved sides Superboy with a post-apocalyptic edge because he's got stuff sewn on and, you know, it's just this leaning into the skin. Like, this is not the dark and gritty DC anymore. This is the DC I like. This is fun legacy DC. There's legacy all over this book.
DC presents Marvel.
Yeah, right. Funny. No, DC presents Rebirth. This is DC's Rebirth. Once again, like, this is the legacy characters. We're dealing with Wonder Girl. We're dealing with the third Robin. We're dealing with Teen Lantern, who's clearly, you know, an offshoot of the Green Lanterns. Jenny Hicks, legacy character. Superboy, legacy character. Impulse, legacy character. The only one that's a new, like, Amethyst.
Oh, she's a legacy character? She's a new character, but she's a legacy?
Well, she's Jonah Hex. Yeah, her, Jonah Hex's granddaughter.
Oh, that's right. I totally that's right. She mentions that too. Yeah. I totally forgot that he was a thing too.
So and then all the gem creatures, people that.
I don't know anything about any of those guys either.
I don't, but it's sweet looking.
Well, when he mentioned King Opal, I was like, oh.
Because they're all from Gemworld, right? Is that it? And that's an old run of DC, or not old, but like
honestly, it's a deep enough cut for me that I don't know a whole lot.
Yeah, I'm over here looking at you like, Nat, you know everything about DC. What are the gem people?
Yeah, I don't know about the gem.
Well, the beginning part of it, I was just like, what? No.
Yeah, the Seven Crisis, that this is going to be like super tinfoil hat. There's an idea that the seven characters that we see are results of the different crises. So we're looking at characters that are displaced through time, and that might be the reason Tim Drake is Robin and not Red Robin.
Yeah. Well, in Detective Comics, he comes back and he has the RR.
Yeah, which Red is the Robin. Dumbest logo ever. I'm sorry, just do the bird logo. If they're going to do Red Robin, just do the bird logo.
So I don't know what really necessarily happened after that, but he disappears in Detective Comics, so I don't know how these are how they're necessarily attached or whether they're attached at all.
I think this is post-Doomsday Clock. I think this is the universe. The reason we don't see other characters in the DCU is because this is revealing things that will happen at the end of Doomsday Clock and Heroes in Crisis. Ooh. Which would be great, because that might mean that we're looking at another brighter version of the DC Universe again. Which I've complained ostensibly about the fact that dark DC gets real annoying.
That would be so ironic if they use Heroes in Crisis and Doomsday Clock to launch the brightest DC Universe yet.
Yeah, it would make sense.
I mean, why not? Like, yeah. They just, like, literally implode. Their grittiness implodes on itself. Like,
night is darkest before the dawn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. No, that is true.
So, it's an actual saying.
Yep. And they say that in Batman, too, so it's DC canon.
Yeah! I loved this issue. Again, that goes without saying at this point, that this was definitely the debut that I wanted for this series, to be able to jump right in and be like, I don't know what the hell's happening, but I'm enjoying it.
No one knows what's happening. Yeah. And it's like, stuff and things, boom.
Yeah. Young Justice Assemble.
Yay. Yeah. Which is funny, the team name actually being Young Justice to me is really, like, that's hilarious.
Yeah, and Impulse keeps, like, branding it, too. Yeah. Yeah, I do love that nod, though. Young Justice Assemble. Young Justice United. They're like, what are you trying to say? I don't know. Just coming up with slogans.
Amethyst, who looks like she's going to be on the team at some point in time, holding her sword up to Tim Drake, which seems like there was a sort of a teleportation thing that's happened, sending people to other worlds. Also mentioning the whole crisis aspect, it seems like... Bless you. Sorry. We're hinting at the fact that crises affect other universes.
Yeah, that was
so mentioned. As all of the crisis that we've sort of run into in our DCU is now, we don't really think about the fact that it just like destroys or rebuilds or changes, causes fractures in the other universes.
The other portion of it is too, is I've never asked this question, is when crises happen, do they remember anything?
Good question. I think it's character specific. I don't think everybody remembers. I think that the monitors probably know everything that's happened, and the guardians probably do as well. But I don't know the greater DC if they all do.
Now that I'm thinking about it, don't they mention that there's seven gems too that come to Earth?
In the splash, it doesn't look like that many, but that could be.
Just yeah, but also amethyst isn't there in the splash.
This is true. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Looks like seven.
Oh, nice. There are seven. So, I don't know if that is if that's relevant or...
we'll see. I mean, I'm definitely on board for this.
Cool. Yeah, I'm definitely on board for this as well, so I'll pick up issue two.
Yeah. Oh, I've already got my second variant picked up. Oh. Okay. Yeah. I've got my third one ordered.
She's like, why are you asking me stupid questions?
It's already done. It's already done. I did this, like, after I read it.
Nice. That's awesome. Well, cool. You heard it here. Maybe not first, but you definitely heard it here. Case and Scales West.
We approve Young Justice.
Yes. Yes. In both forms.
Stamp. Yes. We need to get a rubber stamp so we can stamp things. Yeah. Anyway, cool. Well, let's say goodbye then.
Bye.